This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Last night, Charlotte Mayor Jennifer Roberts lifted a midnight curfew that had been in place since Thursday evening. Demonstrations in Charlotte were largely peaceful over the weekend, even after family members and police released video footage of the fatal police shooting of Keith Lamont Scott. Adam Rue is an associate editor at Charlotte Magazine and a freelance journalist who's been on the ground covering the story and joins me now from our sister station, WFAE in Charlotte. Welcome back, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Good to have you. On Friday, Keith Lamont Scott's family released cell phone video, and then over the weekend, the police released two more videos. So all of that was supposed to there was great trepidation, of course, about what would happen. Is there a consensus on what we see in the video? Is everyone convinced now of what it was that happened that day?
No. In fact, I think the videos, when you look at all three of them, raise many more questions than they answer. When you start with first Mr. Scott's wife's video, it shows some of the back and forth between Mr. Scott and the police officers. What it doesn't show is the moment of the shooting. And I think the interesting piece of that video is really the dialogue between the woman who's filming, Mr. Scott's wife, and sort of what she's saying to police officers, what she's saying to her husband as they interact. At several points, you can hear her tell him to get out of the car. You can hear her tell police officers not to shoot him, that he has a traumatic brain injury and that he had just taken his medicine. But again, it doesn't show the moment of the shooting. Then on Saturday, we got the police tapes after, frankly, a long delay and tremendous amount of pressure on the city of Charlotte to release that video footage. And you have two separate clips. One is the dash cam video from the officer's car, and then one is a body-worn camera by one of the other officers on the scene. It's not Officer Vinson, who was the one who actually shot Mr. Scott. And what those videos show, again, are Mr. Scott getting out of the car. You can see him taking several steps, I think 8 or 9 steps backward away from his SUV and away from the officers. And you can see an ankle holster very clearly in one of the videos on the outside of his right leg. What you can't see is whether he is holding a gun. Police have released a picture of a pistol that they say Mr. Scott was carrying. And what you also cannot see very clearly in the video is him in any way raising that weapon toward officers. We know that the version that the police have told us is that Officer Vinson felt that he was in imminent danger, and that's why he fired his weapon. But you can't see exactly what he saw because, again, he wasn't wearing a body camera. And you also can't see really him in the video. You can't see where he is when he fires the fatal shots.
There were demonstrations again over the weekend each night, largely peaceful demonstrations, were they not?
They were largely peaceful. In fact, since the very serious violence on Wednesday night, demonstrations have been mostly peaceful, with a few little minor exceptions here and there. Police have made a few arrests for some small damage to property, some people who, resisted police officers or blocked a roadway. But again, very peaceful over the weekend. And certainly there was fear that would not be the case on Friday night after the family's video came out, and then on Saturday after the police videos were released. But I think it's a testament, frankly, to both the demonstrators and the police for keeping everything peaceful through the weekend.
A lot of concern, too, about an NFL football game that was going to be played in Charlotte and was yesterday. The Panthers, Carolina Panthers, played a game in Charlotte. You were there. What was the mood like? What was the security like around the game?
Yeah, it was interesting because we heard in the morning lots of talk that the demonstrators may try to in some way disrupt the game either beforehand to prevent the teams or fans from entering the stadium, some demonstration during the game or something afterward. And again, it was very peaceful. There was a large security presence. There were police officers in riot gear outside the stadium. There were at one point National Guard Humvees outside the stadium and a heavier than usual uniformed police presence for sure. There was a demonstration outside the stadium, and there was a group of demonstrators that kneeled on the pavement outside the stadium during the national anthem. But again, it was peaceful before, during, and after the game, and really no major incident. Again, there was a demonstration later in the evening last night. It went off without incident as well.
I'm wondering then about the organization around the protest. I know the NAACP is holding a rally tonight at 6 at Marshall Park. And as you say, except for the initial initial outburst after in the immediate aftermath of the shooting, things have become more quiet. Does that suggest there is more organization around these demonstrations, first of all, for the demonstrations themselves? And the second part of that is there a plan going forward about sort of what to ask the city in the aftermath of this killing?
I do think it's indicative of more organization, better organization, frankly, in those in really the 48 hours after the shooting, you had chaos here in Charlotte. Certainly Wednesday night last week was, I think, the most chaotic I've ever seen Charlotte with the violence and the rioting that we had that night. On Thursday, some national folks, national demonstrators, professional organizers showed up, and you could really feel their hands on the movement as the demonstrations kicked off on Thursday night. They were much more organized. There was a plan. There were clear instructions given to folks who were participating. And that's not to say that people still aren't frustrated and angry and sad and scared and all of the emotions that people have been feeling, but certainly the expression of those emotions has been different. I think partly because of the organizers, also partly I think because of an increased police presence in town, and frankly because the police arrested a number of people who were doing the looting on Wednesday night. There have been some demands already from the group Charlotte Uprising, which is sort of what has become the central core demonstrating group. And they are asking for the police chief and the mayor to resign. They're asking for the police to release the rest of the video footage and a number of other things. I do think you will continue to see that group push for change as we move forward. And certainly being organized helps them do that.
What about the police? As you said, there have been a handful of arrests. Is there any suggestion that police will grow, in a sense, less tolerant? Will there be more arrests? Is there any incentive on the part of the city to sort of put an end to these demonstrations?
Well, I certainly think that as this goes on, we're approaching a week. Tomorrow will be a week from the shooting. And I think the further removed we get from that, certainly the police will be less tolerant of significant disruption. Earlier in the demonstrating period, we saw Thursday, Friday, police were certainly willing to give the protesters wide berth. While the midnight curfew was in place, it wasn't really enforced. Police let the protests continue on Thursday night until almost 2 o'clock Friday morning. It was certainly peaceful, and they were willing to give demonstrators the space to walk in the streets and to do what they wanted to do as long as they continued to be peaceful. We did see last night police less tolerant of folks in the street. Several of the people arrested overnight last night were because they were blocking a roadway. And I think that we heard from officers when we sort of asked, why is that, why are you guys not letting folks into the street? Several officers said, because this is night six. And so I do think as we go on, there will be less tolerance for significant disruption, but certainly there is a recognition that people want to continue to demonstrate and to protest, and I think that will continue.
The shooting of Mr. Scott, whatever the actual details, the absolute details, does raise a number of questions, tactical questions about training for de-escalating dangerous situations, strategic questions about whether and how to execute warrants and bigger, deeper questions about some of the laws that are on the books right now, filling our prisons, some of those deep, long questions. Are those long-term questions in the mix, both for activists? And I guess I have another part of this question, which is whether the business community is also agitating for some deeper conversations about the kind of policing we're seeing.
Well, certainly it's part of the mix for the organizers, for the demonstrators. And I think that while there are some immediate things that they are calling for, there are some long-term systemic changes that they'd also like to see. And I think some of that has to do with how we police, what the instructions are about de-escalating a situation. I think one of the concerns in this situation in particular is that officers were at this apartment complex to serve a warrant on someone unrelated to this situation. According to the police narrative, the officers saw Mr. Scott in his car smoking marijuana, and then they saw him produce a firearm. Somehow he either picked it up or they saw him with a gun in his car, and that's why they decided to essentially initiate contact with him in the first place. And there are lots of questions about did that escalate the situation to a place of a police shooting unnecessarily? And I think that that will continue to get lots of examination, as well as how police officers are trained generally in Charlotte. As to the business community, I think that the business community has long talked about conversations around equality and race and how we as Charlotte work together. The real question I think that myself and a lot of other reporters have is, when do we move from talking about things and commissions and committees and reports to actually seeing some real change here in Charlotte? And I think one of the questions that the business community is going to have to answer is, what role are they willing to play in moving this from conversation to action?
And very briefly and finally, Adam, let me ask you about the SBI investigation. They're now involved, right?
They are involved. They will be the investigating agency about charges. Certainly the police chief here does not believe that the officer, Officer Vincent, should be charged. But the SBI is conducting an independent investigation, and we'll have to see what happens with that.
All right, Adam. Thanks very much for the update.
Thanks, Frank.
Adam Rue, an associate editor at Charlotte Magazine and a freelance journalist. Just ahead, we meet pianist Stefan Litvin and learn more about his life growing up in Mexico City and how he became an international composer. Find out about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.